Good morning. All right. So we're going to continue our study of the Ten Commandments. So we're on number five this morning. So we've been looking at this sermon series in the book of Exodus, mostly in chapter 20, and looking at, you know, the Ten Commandments, right? And so the title of the message this morning is The Foundation of Honor, The Foundation of Honor. And if you want to turn there in your Bible or just however you want to kind of follow along in the Bible this morning, Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be looking at verse 12. So just a review of where we've been, right? We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and number one, we looked at that, and that's just about having no other gods before the Lord God. And, you know, so just we want to worship the right God. That's what that's about. And then the second one was no substitutions, you know, like not only would we want to worship the right God, but we want to worship the right God rightly. We don't want to just sort of invent God and worship our invention, right? We want to worship not a graven image, not an idol, but God. And so then we looked at hallowed be his name, about taking the Lord's name in vain. And we talked about how that is just such a profound commandment. And it's so much deeper than saying, than like, don't say GD, right? Like it is really paramount to consider what it means to live your life not taking the Lord's name in vain, but hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, all of that, right? Last week, we looked at God's rhythm for a restless world, and we talked about Sabbath. So now this week, we come to the fifth commandment. And I just want to remind you, you know, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, it's not like God has extended from heaven a 10-foot ladder, you know? And it's like, hey, if you can keep these, we can be good. That's not the idea at all behind the Ten Commandments. Yet I fear sometimes that we do view it that way, probably because a lot of Christians talk that way, and that's not helpful. The Ten Commandments and really the law of God is helpful insofar as it shows us God's holiness, his character. And we immediately realize none of us keep the law. None of us obey all the Ten Commandments or really any of them all the time. And so it's not a 10-foot ladder from heaven that anyone could ever climb. No, it actually is a situation where God has rescued Israel from Egypt. He's delivered them from slavery. He has delivered them, right? He's parted the Red Sea. He's already saved them. They are saved. And then at Mount Sinai, he says, you know what? My people that I rescued, that could never climb a ladder to get to me, but I picked you up and rescued you. Now we're here. Now we're here at Mount Sinai. Here is how I want you to live. This reflects my character. This will make you different and holy, and this will make you unique in the world. Here's the Ten Commandments. That's the heart behind the Ten Commandments. And so I just want to remind us of that. Now, the fifth commandment that we're at this morning is about honoring your father and your mother. Exodus 20, verse 12. In fact, I just want to kind of give you, like, I think the foundational, kind of the key truth, right? And the title is The Foundation of Honor. Let me read this key truth to you. Sort of a big idea, a main point this morning, okay? Honoring my parents and holding to God's design for family is foundational and crucial for living a life that glorifies God and that experiences the God, the good that God wants for me. Okay, so that is a key truth today, coming not from me, but hopefully through me, coming from the Word of God. All right, and so again, honoring my parents and holding to God's design for family is, do you see the word there? Foundational. So when we talk about the foundation of honor, the title this morning, we're not like looking at the foundation of this thing called honor. No, we're saying that honor is foundational and crucial, critical, essential, very important to living a life that glorifies God and that experiences the good that God wants for you. And so we have 2 points this morning. They just sort of flow from that key statement. And so I'm going to read to you Exodus 20, verse 12, and Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, that kind of goes along with it. So I'm going to read that to you and then pray, and then we're going to jump in to our outline this morning. But before I do read those passages to you, let me just acknowledge how difficult it is for me to preach this sermon to you. So in this service, second service today, we have my kids, all right? Ho-ho, we're not done. My in-laws and my parents. And it's the one Sunday my sister visits from out of town. So pray for me. What a great topic for today. But it is a good topic. And, you know, good thing that when you teach the Bible in church, you're not, you know, just saying, here, let me show you my life. That's the example. No, you're teaching the Word of God, the truth. And I know that there's a very big topic here that we all really need to hear from the Lord on about honoring our parents. And so let's read these passages and pray this morning. So Exodus 20, verse 12 says it. Here's the fifth commandment, just stated so clearly and beautifully. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then I'll just turn over to Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So bow with me. Let's pray and ask God to help us learn and understand and accept what we have here. Lord, we thank you for the chance to learn, to open before us your thoughts, Lord. And your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, your ways higher than our ways. Lord, your wisdom is above us, above our wisdom. And so, God, would you open up our minds and our hearts and our wills, that we would be accepting, that we would learn, that we would grow, that we would even be encouraged this morning to be doers of your word, to put our faith in you, to walk by faith with you. And Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for this time together. In your name we pray, amen. The foundation of honor. Foundation of honor. Looking at Exodus 20, verse 12. Again, that key statement, honoring, you know, our father and our mother, honoring our parents, and holding to God's design for family is foundational. It's crucial for living a life that glorifies God and that experiences the good that God wants for you, and truly He does want that for you. And so the first point is honoring my parents glorifies God. If you're filling in the blanks, it's glorifies God. And so I just want to kind of, under each of these points, I want to like just sort of unpack what like the verse has for us. And then actually at the end, I want to go through a bunch of questions and answers that we probably do have about this commandment because it can get a little dicey. So honoring my parents glorifies God. The first thing I think it's helpful to acknowledge here is that the fifth commandment, that's what we're looking at, it assumes that the normal and the ideal of God, of our Creator, is that there be a mom and a dad in the home, biblical family. Okay? I mean, just step back. Biblical family, not modern family. I mean, just step back and just visit the Ten Commandments for a moment and just recognize that. I think that's important to just see. It's just so basic, and it's not something that I think we should just rush past. You know, where that's not possible through death or through separation or through divorce, of course, we do our best to lean into other supports and ways to get by, but we are not to go and change the definition of family and pretend that the Word of God has not clearly given a blueprint and an ideal and a norm, all right? And so honoring my parents glorifies God. See that the fifth commandment assumes biblical family, not modern family. Now, the fifth commandment puts the family right here in the top 10, God's top 10. What do you think about that? That's kind of amazing. I mean, if we step back for a moment again and we just sort of visit the 10 commandments afresh, it's profound, I think, a little bit to kind of think, wow, family matters to God a lot. It's number five. That's a big deal. That's heavy. That's weighty. In fact, if you read Exodus 20, verse 12, which we just do again right now, it says, honor your father and your mother. That word to honor, the Hebrew is chavod, all right? And look, I know you could have figured that out from ChatGPT, so don't be like, you know, overwhelmed by the use of original languages. Don't worry about it. Relax. Actually, let's all say it, chavod. Yeah, you can. It's okay if you were a little shy, you want to do it on the way home when we're not there to see. But it's a real fun one to say, chavod. And I just want to kind of point this out because actually it's really interesting. The word means weighty. It means heavy, to give weight to. This word, the root for it anyways, is in Exodus 37 times. It's in the Old Testament over 370 times. Chavod. All right? Now, why did I want to show you this? Here's why. This word is just really rich. Like, actually, in the Old Testament, later than Exodus, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 4, there's this whole situation, right? The Ark of the Covenant is this really important, part of the worship for Israel. It's like part of their church, right? And so the Ark of the Covenant has been captured by the Philistines, and someone has a baby, and because they're so sad that the Ark of the Covenant was captured, they decide to name their baby after the sad situation. Let me show it to you. 1 Samuel 4. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. Kavod. Ichabod means departed. Really cool. You guys aren't excited enough about this. I'm going to have to be praying for you, okay? We're going to keep going. But Exodus 33, Moses said to the Lord, show me your kavod. Show me your glory, right? You know those like little barbells, the ones that are 1 pound? You find them in like Lost and Found, you know what I'm saying? You can like walk with them and you can do like little curls at a red light. Like those... Not this. This is weighty. This is heavy. This is honoring your father and mother. Glory. I mean, it's weighty. It's to be a big, weighty thing in your life. That's what it means. That's the definition. One thing that's like really interesting to me anyways is that we learn in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20 that Moses' mom's name was Jochebed. Okay, again, you're not excited enough about that. What is wrong with you? Okay, that means Yahweh is kavod. Jochebed. That's Moses' mom's name, and he's giving us the Ten Commandments. It's like Moses is saying, kavod, your father and mother, and my mom's name is the Lord is kavod. This is kind of cool. It's not as cool, I understand. We'll move on. Honoring my parents glorifies God. Again, I just think just camping out here on Exodus 20, verse 12, right? We only have one verse, so we have time to look at it carefully. Honor your father and mother. You now know that means give weight, give honor to your father and to your mother. But then it says that your days may be long in the land. You could translate that deeply rooted, flourishing, deeply rooted. In fact, the word, I don't want to mean to be this like original language nerd today, but the word there for deeply rooted is the word arak. Not arak. But in Arabic and Hebrew are similar. It's literally like the word Iraq, the country. It means deeply rooted and fertile. And so what it's saying here is, again, give weight and honor to your father and mother, that deeply rooted may be your days in the ground that the Lord your God, Yahweh Elohim, is giving to you. That's the verse. That's the verse we have here. That's the fifth commandment. honoring my parents glorifies God. Another observation is that, you know, this is the first horizontal commandment. So if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are vertical, like no gods before God. You know, no idols or graven images. Don't take his name in vain. It's all between you and God. It's vertical, now horizontal the rest of the way. Between you and others. But what's the first one? It's the father and mother. And it's also the first one. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you, first of all, that it's the first one. It's the closest one to the vertical commandments. And I think that's intentional because our relationship with our father and mother, which is horizontal, is very close to our relationship with God. Of course, it's not the same, but the way we treat our parents is related to the way we treat God. Both are authorities in our lives that we are given, not that we requested, right? And I think this also serves to underscore how our relationship with our parents is the first relationship that someone has, the first horizontal relationship, and it's pattern setting. One pastor says the parental relationship is the first and most important relationship. It shapes other relationships. It cannot be understated. And so honoring my parents glorifies God is the point here. Let me just show you again, Ephesians 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, honoring my parents glorifies God. This is right. Just in case you were thinking in the New Testament, they're kind of like, oh, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. That's God. That's the God of the Old Testament, a little different guy. No, just in case you're thinking that. Here's Ephesians, the New Testament. Here's Paul saying, all right, Christians, let's look at the fifth commandment. That's what he's saying here. He even says, this is the first commandment with a promise. Key truth. Honoring my parents and holding to God's design for family is foundational, crucial for living a life that glorifies God. Crucial. Foundational. So now let's continue. Let's talk about honoring my parents is for my good. Let's talk about that. So again, Exodus 20, verse 12. This is the verse it's all coming from. So honor your father and your mother. Here's the second part. That your, do you see it? That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's amazing, right? Here they are at Mount Sinai. They've just been rescued from Egypt. They're being given the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And God points forward and says he's giving them land, the promised land. That is referenced here. Again, Ephesians 6 underscores that this is the first commandment with a promise. It says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honoring my parents is for my good. So the fifth commandment indicates to us that flourishing and actually a biblically functioning family is paramount to a blessed life and to really a collective of people. I mean, we're very different than the nation of Israel. America is not Israel. Please don't ever think that. But we're different, right? But still, there's a collection of people. And as you consider that like a nation or whatever, like there's really a truth here that paramount to experiencing God's blessing is this obedience to this command of honoring the father and the mother. It's foundational to be foundational in the fabric of a flourishing and healthy society. God is civilization building here. He's creating a people, and he's saying, I'm putting this in the top five. Now, the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. One of the things with the fifth commandment, different from some of the other ten commandments, is that it sort of jolts us with the reality that we're not Israel, you know? Let me show you what I mean. So I'll show you this table. So let's compare commandment number 8 with commandment number 5. So commandment number 8 is thou shalt not steal. All right? That's very straightforward. The application is clear and universal. You could be at Mount Sinai, you know, with Israel in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not steal means don't go into someone else's tent and steal from them, right? You could be in 2025. Thou shalt not steal is just as clear. It's like not really contextually specific, right? Hello? But number five is different. This one that we're looking at today is different. Honor your father and mother so that it may, so that you may live long in the land. Okay. So the application is if you have some land coming your way really soon. Like, whoa, how do we like apply this? It's a good reminder that we have to be careful when we're applying the Bible to our lives. But we do understand as Christians that we are still to apply this, that this references abundant life. This references experiencing the good life that God wants for us. This references us as Christians who we long not just for the abundant life in this life, but for the new heavens and the new earth. And that permanence in his kingdom, eternity. Now, one thing I want to show you before we move to questions and answers. Make sure you see this. The fifth commandment is primarily between you and God. It's not ultimately between you and your parents, although that is the content of the commandment. Notice that it's not the land that your father and mother are giving you. It's the land that the Lord is giving you. Our obedience is unto the Lord. He is the one who's making the promise to us and demanding the obedience from us. Colossians 3, verse 20 sort of puts it similarly. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases, do you see it? Your parents? Does it say that? Does it say pleases your parents? No, it does not. Does it please your parents? Of course it does. What does it say? Pleases the Lord. The fifth commandment is first and foremost between you and the Lord. He's the one who's given this commandment, and he's the one to whom we are to honor and obey primarily by honoring our father and mother. That's key. Honoring my parents glorifies God. Honoring my parents is for my good. God wants to shower blessing on your life through this promise. And so let's now ask some questions and maybe try to give some answers to some of the more delicate and I think kind of, well, some very straightforward, but some tricky things with the fifth commandment. The first one is maybe the easiest to explain, hardest to do. How do I apply this if I am a child who still lives at home with my parents? Okay. How do you apply this? Well, I mean, just apply it. Like weighty, heavy, big deal. Like honor your father and mother. God is clearly in his word asking you to make that a priority. The New Testament further details what that looks like and often uses the word obey. So you are to obey your parents. For this pleases the Lord. Now, how do I apply this if I've moved out? Or if I am married now, but I still have a relationship with my parents? That's a good question. Well, Genesis 2, when talking about marriage, and Jesus sort of reaffirming it in Matthew 19, says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so when you gain independence from your earthly father and mother through marriage or through just like adulthood, you have a different relationship with them, right? Yes, of course. And a different relationship has a different set of expectations. But one thing that doesn't change is we are still to figure out a way to honor our father and mother. Probably not obey them, at least not in the same way as when you're a child that lives in their house. But to honor. So if your mom or your in-laws say, you are going to come for Thanksgiving this year, and you're an adult and you have your own family, you can kind of be like, all right, like I want to honor you, but I don't have to obey you. It's okay to laugh. Come on. It's different, but we still honor. We still honor. That's very important. One of the ways you as an adult with perhaps your own family or just being an adult and independent from your family would honor your father and mother if they're still living and you still have a relationship with them is by caring for them. The Bible talks about this. 1 Timothy 3. Let me show you. I'll show you this verse. Chapter 3, verse 4. It says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. So children are to care for their parents at this stage. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I was talking with some folks that are part of this church on Friday about them caring for one of their parents who has memory loss and dementia and how hard it is. And yet we know that that, according to this verse, pleases the Lord. And that's one of the ways that we would care for our parents and honor them. So let's keep going. Just some more questions, right? How do I apply this if my parents are deceased or completely out of the picture? Well, in how you speak about them, be honoring. You know, David lamented Saul in 2 Samuel chapter 1 after he died. And I know Saul was not David's dad. He was Jonathan's dad. But Saul was the king, and he was an authority in David's life, and really not a very nice one. He tried to kill David, and David was like kind of on the run from him. And yet, when Saul died, David didn't do like a gloating dance. No, he honored him. He wrote a lamentation for him. How do I apply this if I'm a parent of young children? I like this one. Think about it. It's so funny, right? Like, you have this fifth commandment, and you kind of hope that your kids are in the service. You know? You're checking right now, you know, during this whole sermon, or hoping this one, they won't draw a lot. Like, they won't, you know, they'll really focus in, because this is a biggie. And it's like, no, you know what? Parent of children, you listen closely. Because think about it, all the Israelites that heard the Ten Commandments. Do you know how many kids were distracted at Mount Sinai that day? What really matters is not that those kids hear it, but what really matters is that those parents hear it, and they then, as parents, take very seriously their important role in disciplining, modeling, teaching, expecting, and shaping the next generation to be people who obey the fifth commandment. And you say, well, that feels self-serving. I don't want to tell someone to honor me. You know what? It's not self-serving. It's serving them. Remember the promise from the Lord to the people who obey the fifth commandment. So how do I apply this? If I'm a parent of young children, you take seriously the noble job of training children to obey the fifth commandment. How do I apply this if one or both of my parents are not Christians or are not honorable? It's an important question. Well, we have a good example in Acts 5 when some not honorable authority in the lives of the disciples arrested them and told them, "You shall no longer speak in the name of Jesus." And they said back, "We must obey God rather than man." And so anytime you're in a situation where honoring your parent, who's maybe in your mind not honorable or it maybe not a Christian, and so you must always determine, can I do this and still honor the Lord? Because that's what's most important. But remember that if the commandment is not determine how honorable your parents are and give them that much honor. That's not the commandment. That's not it. In fact, parents maybe who aren't as honorable or who are not Christians might be the ones most touched, blessed, transformed by seeing that your faith has made a difference in your life, that you are able to honor them? It's not easy, though. I'm going to deal with a harder one here. How do I apply this if one or both of my parents are toxic or abusive? Well, again, back to the story of David and Saul. You know, again, Saul, not David's dad, but authority, a king, a leader. Saul was toxic and abusive. He was trying to kill David. You know what? David wasn't like, hey, Saul, you know what? Let's go on vacation together. Let's do Christmas and Thanksgiving. No, David was hiding from Saul. He was putting up some boundaries. He was in a cave. Yet when he had an opportunity to kill Saul, he said, you know what? I am not going to lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. And when Saul died, he wrote a lamentation for him that said, how the mighty have fallen. And so hear this, because listen, I'm telling you, again, back to the beginning, God has an ideal. He has a norm. He wants a family to be with a father and a mother and for there to be honor and for there to be reason for honor. That is the ideal. It's number 5 in the top 10. It matters to God. And so if you have not had that, and if you have experienced real neglect, abandon, abuse, toxic things, that grieves the heart of God. It's not right. It's not supposed to be that way. Do know that. And so when we talk about obeying the fifth commandment, we don't treat this as a light thing and say it's easy, just do it. It's important that you be honest and that you be authentic. But listen, still honor your father and mother. Your obedience to the fifth commandment in that situation is so much more precious to the Lord than the person for whom it's just easy. It's like auto. How do I apply honor my father and mother when there are cultural differences that hinder one's ability to feel honor? I'll give you an example. Let's just say, hypothetically, you marry into a family that highly values hugging, and you're just kind of like, let's just do a fist pound. You know? Cultural difference there. And over time, that's perceived as not very honoring. What do you do? You learn to hug. You just start giving big hugs. Because honor shown is not always honor perceived. And we should aim that honor is shown and honor is perceived if it's within our ability to give that. There may be times, though, when you have to just say, you know what, I have a clear conscience. This commandment number 5, is actually between me and the Lord. And I have a clear conscience. I have tried to honor my father and mother. And there's an unreasonableness, and I can't do anything else. God sees that. And he will bless you. Now, the last question I want to consider in kind of leading us into the close here is just this. How did Jesus honor his father and mother? And how does the New Testament, how does the gospel transform the fifth commandment for Christians? How does that, do you know? How does that work? Well, Jesus obeyed his earthly father and mother. Please see that. Please know that. He did not disregard the fifth commandment because he was the Son of God. In fact, when Jesus was on the cross, there's this precious sort of window into his honoring of his mother. He asks one of the disciples to take care of his mom. Jesus is the example par excellence. He did not disregard the fifth commandment. He fulfilled it. He obeyed it. He was sinless. And Jesus did not bow down to the idol of American family values, you know? He honored his earthly parents. Yes, he did. His blood relatives were important to him. But he always put his heavenly father in his truer, deeper spiritual family, the disciples, the church, the kingdom, above these other relations. Because they were related to him by blood too, but by his atoning blood and their faith in him. And so I just want to close with this story. You almost can't talk about the fifth commandment without talking about this story. It's a story in Luke 15. It's a story that's often called the prodigal son. And it's a story that Jesus told, and he is sharing this story to kind of tell the Pharisees and his disciples what the heart of God is like. And so the story is of a son who totally dishonors his father. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, "Dad, give me your inheritance. You're dead to me." And he goes off to the distant country and he spoils his life and his entire inheritance in wayward, prodigal living. Well, he comes to himself in Luke 15 and verse 18. He begins to repent. Verse 19 is where we'll pick up. I just want to read it to you. Just follow along. You can only listen if you want. But he says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Here's why I share that story. How is Jesus able to tell that story and to say to you and me, this is God, this Father, he represents the heart of God? How is he able to do that without contradicting the fifth commandment? This son has broken the fifth commandment. And he's able to do that because Jesus knows that he will die on the cross and pay for the sins of this son and of all who have broken the law, which is all of us. Romans 5:8 puts it this way: God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not that God overlooks the breaking of the fifth commandment in the life of the prodigal son and just cavalierly runs down the road and kisses and gives new shoes and a robe. It's not that God overlooks it. It's that God's judgment is poured out upon Christ at the cross. And so there is only mercy and love and grace and forgiveness towards those wayward children who come back to the Father, desiring to be with him. So let me now close with this encouragement, Romans 12. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for this challenge, this encouragement. We ask, God, that you would just fill our hearts with peace. Lord, make us people who uniquely live out this fifth commandment. Lord, in a world where children often talk bad about their parents, where one generation does not respect and tends to throw away the previous generation, Lord, may we be different. May we be a people who honor you by honoring your word. Lord, we want to live long, to be permanent, to be blessed, to know your abundant life. And so extend your mercy to us. Help us to obey the commands that are difficult to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.